Welcome to the Thrive with Holistic Healing Co. podcast. I am your host, Namita Mahanama. Here, I bring you the synergistic utilization of Western and Eastern modalities to help you thrive in your wellness, to thrive in your mental health, to thrive in life, so that you can feel and be your best self in body, mind, and soul. Thank you for joining me. So, let's jump in together and thrive. So, hello, and welcome to episode 19 of the Thrive with Holistic Healing Co. podcast. Thank you so incredibly much for joining me today. Now, this is actually another video recorded podcast where I'm trying to see whether I can video record and upload it to the YouTube channel as well, if you prefer seeing me talk in a face-to-face, you know, if you're a visual person. I wanted to see how this will certainly be. In fact, for the next four episodes, I want to try it out, and I'd love to hear your feedback if you actually like seeing actual video footage of me speaking. But today's episode, I wanted to speak into this concept of consistency and consistency versus this all or nothing way of doing things. Now, I actually write a lot about this mindset. Actually, I write about a lot of different mindsets in my book, Shining the Light on PND. And I do go through so many mindsets that I discovered through my own journey, what I did imbibe, and I found what was helping me. And I certainly found certain mindsets that weren't helping me, that were actually holding me back from living my best life. Now, there are lots of things that I discuss. I didn't imbibe all of them, but this all or nothing mindset. So it is a certain trait that I tend to sort of ebb and flow from. It's something that comes and goes, and I'm going to be honest, she started to rear her ugly little head again, or his head. I don't know if it's a he or a she. It doesn't really matter. Anyway, you know, it can pertain to anything. Now, it can be to do with fitness. It can be to do with eating habits or alcohol. It could be to do with work or study or cleaning. You name it. You know, it's this extreme living on either side of the spectrum. So either of doing everything yesterday, you know, doing it all and not letting it go like a dog with a bone and doing it now, or letting it accumulate and pile up as a result of doing nothing. And so it's almost this extreme ways of being that really is something that I am noticing has come back again, or is something that's sort of popping up again, I should say. And so how it actually has presented back to me in the last few months has been in my CPD, so my continuing professional education. It's this, you know, we need to do a certain amount of accreditation points as a pharmacist to demonstrate our continued learning and that we're keeping up to date with our knowledge. And in the pharmaceutical industry, this is imperative. Things are constantly changing. And so definitely this is a huge, huge need and a huge requirement. But I guess I tend to work in very segmented ways where, you know, I kind of can work on one task at a time, and I dedicate my full attention to whatever I'm doing at the time. And I genuinely don't thrive if I'm working on multiple different projects. That's just something that it isn't in my DNA. It isn't the way that I have been wired or the way that I'm made up, really. And I think a lot of people can be that way inclined. They can start, stop, do, have multiple projects going. My husband certainly is one of them. I know that there are, you know, I can think of countless other people that I know that are like that. They can have multiple different things, take bites out of everything, and that's how they, you know, it doesn't bother them or perturb them. But for me, I very much work in a very meticulous, structured, organized kind of way. And so that enables me, I feel, to have some element of control. If I was to reflect, I think that's what it brings me, or that's what it serves me to some capacity. And so, you know, it is good. It's good in one way, in that I have steadfast focus, I have steadfast dedication, and I don't get distracted by multiple things. That's a good thing that happens. But what I find happens, and why I feel, I'll call it a toxic trait. Maybe I shouldn't be so harsh with the description. Perhaps it's, you know, it's a trait. It's something that I'm noticing, that what happens is that the pile of CPD journals will grow and grow and grow, because I, you know, I'm like a cow, I'll do it. But when I do it, I'm going to do all of it. So then it keeps on piling up. But essentially it piles up to the point where it feels like this huge mammoth task, or it could be my admin to do with all our taxes and our tax returns and the paperwork. And gosh, we have multiple businesses. So, you know, this is very much something that is exactly in the same nature. It just grows to the point where it's actually feels overwhelming, because it feels like this gigantic big task, and you almost feel exhausted before you even start, because you know that you've left it for so long, and you I guess feel like it is this big daunting task that's going to take you a very long time. Now the irony is, in both of these instances, I actually was able to plow through them, you know, over however long it took. It didn't take me very long, and I did manage to tackle it, and I came through unscathed. It was fine. It actually took far less time than I thought that it would, which is fantastic. And I definitely felt productive and lighter, and I felt so incredibly accomplished that, you know, I had done it. But it did make me look into this trait and really think, you know, the amount of time that I ascribed or assumed that it would take made it feel a lot more monumentous, or this, you know, big mountain that I felt like I couldn't climb. But it really made me ponder and really look again into this trait, in this beauty of taking bite-sized pieces, taking small, little, digestible, manageable chunks from this mountain, or not letting it become a mountain anyway, by taking little bite-sized pieces, that would be fantastic. And so a question, you know, why is my default this? Is it how I am? Is that just, you know, perhaps the way that I function and how I am? And I wondered if perhaps you're the same, or am I an anomaly? I'm not sure if I'm an anomaly. Now, as a disclaimer, I say this really about everything. When I speak about mindsets and everything like that, I am a pharmacist. And so anything to do with CBT or counseling or looking into the psychology of the why, it isn't my scope of practice. And I certainly am not coming from a space of feeling like I am, because I definitely know that I'm not. I definitely know that, you know, what is within my boundaries. I simply am speaking from my own inner experience, really, of what I've reflected, what I continue to reflect on in my life's journey as a mother, as a woman, as a career woman. And so I would always advocate, and I always recommend in everything that I say and do, to seek professional counseling or CBT from a trained psychologist if you feel like there is more to any mindsets or behavioral patterns. Then please chat with your GP, please seek the help that you need, and you know, a GP can direct you, refer you to where and who it is that you need to speak to. And so, yes, this is just me speaking from my own inner reflections. So for perinatal specific psychology specialists, I highly advocate and recommend the Gidget Foundation. They do amazing work in pregnancy and the postpartum period, and they very much are all about psychology, really. Their bread and butter are all programs to do with looking at that and that whole modality. So I am speaking simply for my own reflective purposes, but definitely reach out for some amazing help if you want to take this, obviously, to that next level. Okay, so if we dive back into my own personal experience and my reflections, I definitely feel like it's this divine masculine side where, you know, I speak about being organized. It's this clinical, logical, sequential mode of being. Yeah, just being in that aspect. And I think it gives me that aspect of control, and it does give me structure, and it gives me a method to my madness. And what I think it is that it's this procrastination of feeling like the task is so mammoth. And really, I actually don't like stopping, starting a project. I cannot stand it. And so what I have found in motherhood is that that often happens. It's this stop, start, pick up, drop. You work in between little snippets of time, and it drives me nuts. It is something that I personally don't thrive on. I need a good, solid chunk of time. It enables me to feel grounded. It enables me to feel solid and rooted, as opposed to this erratic movement. Start, stop, start, stop. You don't know if you're coming, you're going, you're constantly looking at the time. So I understand why things accumulate and pile up, because I almost, perhaps either I don't feel like I have enough time to dedicate to finishing it. So I, you know, why bother? And so I think that's one aspect of it. I can also recognize that when I do eventually get to doing that particular task, and then I do work myself to the bone, and I will keep on working until it's done to, you know, I can cross it off the list then, that actually, it's actually really quite exhausting for one. Like, you know, you just plowing through it, it feels a little bit too painful, if I was to be honest. And that may have served me when I didn't have anything else to do, when I could just concentrate, plow through this big, gigantic task. If I didn't have to look after children, if I didn't have a house to run or a marriage or friendships or, you know, businesses or work to do, it would be fine. I'm sure that particular trait would work. But in this instance, with all that's happening, it isn't something that I feel is a sustainable, or, you know, it's not something that could be consistently done, because it's going to feel very, very overwhelming. And it's going to feel like, right, something has got to give. Sorry to interrupt your Thrive podcast. I just wanted to hop on quickly and talk about my children's book, My Mummy After Our Baby. Proceeds of the profits will be donated to the Gidget Foundation, which is a not-for-profit organisation that does amazing work in perinatal mental health within Australia. I wrote this book because when I fell ill with postnatal depression after having Kayan, my eldest son Ari had absolutely no idea what had happened to me and what carnage had ripped through our home. And we had no capacity to delicately explain it. It is a gentle, soft, and emotive way to explain PND affecting the home, but gives the most important message of hope for this child to hold on, and that their mummy will get better. It is a bonding and connective tool that in itself can be so healing for the family, and certainly one that I wished I had access to. I believe that it should be part of every family's toolkit if they find themselves being the 1 in 7 women who have postnatal depression. It is available now at www.holistichealingco.com, and I hope that it brings hope and healing within your home or the home of a loved one. Now, back to the episode. And so this is really what sparked or spurred on this episode, because I was like, oh my goodness, what exactly is happening? And it's time to take stock. And it really is time to step back and reassess what's happening here. It leads me to the question then, well, how can we be consistent? You know, it's all well and good to say, well, you know, we need to be consistent, take bite-sized pieces, but how do we do that? So I guess in contrast to this divine masculine, which is, you know, all about structure and organization, the contrast of that is the fluidity, this fluidity of the divine feminine, where we can go through the ebbs and flows of life. And so, you know, we just move with what's presenting now. And I love that. And I do feel in so many aspects of my motherhood journey, that is what I harness and what I do bring, because I have to, right? I would love to think that I can control everything, but really we cannot. There are so many instances every single day where I do have to be fluid, like the wind. You know, it's like this big tree, and if that tree was rigid and stuck and the wind came, and you know, it would snap. But to be able to bend and move is so much better. It's going to allow that cohesion and going to allow a beautiful way to live. So in that instance, just taking little bite-sized pieces, starting it, being okay if you can't. And so I know that again sounds very easy, because if my internal nature or your internal nature is one that's a little bit tricky to do, well, yes, there has to be another way as well, right? So moving on, I also feel like if this organized or this divine masculine part of me is there, okay, so I am recognizing that is the nature, then working on them in a set time frame. So rather than letting that pile up until, right, I snap and I feel like I need to do it, doing it monthly, having a set up structure where every fortnight or every month at this particular, you know, say the first Friday of every month or the first Saturday of every month, I'm going to tackle this. And that can help perhaps stop it from piling up, and rather than doing months and months and months worth of work all at the same time, perhaps that's going to feel organized and structured, but it's also still being bite-sized in pieces. So I feel like that's a happy compromise. Now, say it's in the instance or for the example of fitness. So I definitely agree that first step can often be the hardest, and you know, perhaps even the second day, but once you have done one day, next day, it actually does get easier, because certainly your endorphins are there and you're going to have more prana and life force energy and have that oxygen circling through. So you're perhaps going to have more energy to do it anyway, but also your fitness is going to improve. And so your motivation is going to get stronger. And I feel like it can obviously become easier that the more you do it and just do little daily habits, that it can become a long-term habit, really. Now, I have actually always believed the statement, and in fact, I might have even said this number in a previous podcast episode, that it takes 21 days for a habit to form. Now, I've always believed that, but I found a PubMed article that actually shows that it's a myth. Apparently, that was just from anecdotal evidence that it took 21 days for people to psychologically have adjusted to their new appearance after they'd had plastic surgery, and then somehow that had changed or shifted, that a habit takes 21 days to get there. What I have found in this PubMed article, and also on Healthline, so I'll link the PubMed article in the show notes, but apparently it takes on average more than 2 months, so 66 days to be precise, for a behavior to become a new habit. So the recommendation is around 10 weeks or 2 to 3 months for a behavior to change, or for a behavior to become a habit or become second nature. And so that's great. I mean, of course, 10 weeks or 2 to 3 months, I mean, it's longer than 21 days. But that pitha part of me, that pitha aspect of me, I love time frames. You know, you give me a target and a goal, I can work towards that. And so 2 to 3 months, okay, so if I stick with something for 2 to 3 months, then Yeah, it's probably going to be something that is achievable. It isn't a year's time. It's that feels too big. It feels unrealistic to achieve. But a time frame of 2 to 3 months definitely is achievable or can be achieved. So that is something that I also found interesting, that if I just perhaps start and do this once a month for the next 2 to 3 months, or perhaps a little bit longer if it's a monthly occurrence versus a daily occurrence, then that's great. That might be something that will enable it to become an actual lifelong habit. And I don't look at it with judgment. I said toxic trait, but I don't mean that. I mean that certainly I know that it's something that can be improved, but I'm kind to myself and I will forgive myself from doing it. Now, going back to Ayurveda, which I always love to do, this jumpy or erratic tendency of starting, stopping a particular task, that's actually also to do with my other constitution type, which is my Vata dosha. So that pertains to movement. And one of the traits with Vata is very much about stopping and starting a particular action. Whereas, you know, a Pitta type of person that's predominantly Pitta will have that steadfast focus, determination, but also a Kapha type person with their earth qualities. Now, whilst they might do the job or the task very slowly, they probably are much more likely to stick with it because they're very loyal, they're very solid, they'll stick with it a lot better. So the very constitution that I am, I have a lot more understanding and empathy about it. It's not something that I'm annoyed at. It just is what it is. And I can appreciate that is just the intrinsic quality, the nature. It's what I have, it's what I've been made as, and that's okay. And so what that would look like for me is really, you know, I would buy supplements, for example, and I would take them for a hot minute, and then I will forget. And then I just won't. And then I'll do it again. And then I'll forget. And then it'll become another while. Or it could be, you know, a facial range or something, you know, I'll start it for a certain amount of time and then it just sits there. And, you know, it is something that can be quite expensive if I was to reflect. And it's something that it is time consuming to go out and buy something or order it online or whatever it is that you do. It's time consuming. So there's no point doing that if you're not going to follow it through. But anyway, that's just another side note. So yeah, that was really what I wanted to chat about today. And you know, there's no judgment, there's no anything really. It was just a reflective moment. And so my mindful moment for you this week was actually for you to take stock of your life and see if there are any areas in your life that you are practicing this all or nothing approach, and to reflect how it's serving you. If it is, then amazing, then hats off to you and keep on going if that is working for you. I'm certainly not here to change the core of you if it is working. But if it isn't, then whatever that particular aspect is, then how can you make it bite-size, achievable pieces? Is it waking up 10 minutes earlier and doing some star jumps or some burpees or something like that? You know, small, short, sharp, enough to get your prana, enough to get your heart pumping, enough to feel a little bit more energized through your day. Is it speaking to your partner perhaps at the time of you feeling upset versus letting it accumulate and pile up and then erupt into a big fight? Is it maybe doing a meal plan and groceries delivered versus feeling overwhelmed on a Monday morning because you don't have enough groceries, you don't know what to cook or with what? I mean, that's certainly planning, but still it's a all or nothing. It's an all or nothing approach, I believe. Anyway, that was another example. But whatever it is for you, if you lean into what exactly is this all thing and see if you can break it down into smaller pieces and make it more manageable. And it's almost just like this mountain, and it can feel so big, but if we just soften it, if we break it down, it just doesn't feel so big. And you know, perhaps by doing little bit little bit more often, we might actually feel more productive. Who knows? We might actually feel like I'm staying on top of things versus feeling so empowered or so productive when we've done this huge mammoth task. But what's it taken away? Has it taken away something, you know? For me, I mean, I just cannot finish any, I can't do anything else until I've finished. And so it takes away that current peace of mind, or I'm not really paying attention to other things because I'm only focused, hyper-focused on this one particular aspect. And so there are certain things that I'm giving up as a result. But if we're able to do short, sharp little sessions, that might be more helpful. Anyway, I hope that you have taken away something from this episode, something juicy, something useful, something helpful. And I thank you so, so incredibly much for joining me this week. I really do. And until next time, have an amazing week. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you've enjoyed this podcast, it would be so amazing if you could leave a review. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a thing. Share this resource and my Holistic Healing Co. website, where you will find all of the episodes and show notes, as well as share my social media to your friends and to all those who would benefit from its content. I hope you have received a beautiful takeaway to help you thrive, and I look so forward to joining you again next week.